I'm chair for the 53rd annual Mulch and Soil Council meeting here in beautiful San Antonio. I'm hoping that everyone had a chance to go out last night and experience the river walk in this gorgeous city. A few updates before we get started. The Honky Tonk Happy Hour has been moved inside due to weather. It will be in the Stetson Room at 4:30. If you're taking the elevator, just hit S. A big thank you to Vermeer for the opening reception last night and to all of our affiliate members for their awesome displays. And something new this year, we had the Grab and Go breakfast, which was provided by T.H. Glennon. So a big thank you to T.H. Glennon for breakfast this morning. We are going to be opening our presentations today with a topic on AI. I am very, very pleased to introduce Joel Gunn. He is local to the San Antonio area. Joel holds an esteemed position of a business and strategy coach, providing expertise to over 24 CEOs and executives through his company M516. And he has been sharing practical insights regarding AI both regionally and nationally. Welcome, Joel Gunn.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good morning. Welcome to my city, San Antonio. I was born about 14 blocks north of here. So welcome, San Antonio. Thank you for inviting me to share a little bit with you today. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk about some of the stuff going on in the world of AI, probably a topic you've not heard much about the last year or so. And I do have some current information, and hopefully we'll make that more valuable to you. Going to share some very practical examples, and then part of my talk, I'm actually going to stop talking and let you guys go to work playing with AI. And I say playing because hopefully there's a little bit of that in the room this morning. So Microsoft just released a Work Trend Index special report. 70% of Copilot users, that's Microsoft's version of AI, said that they were more productive, and 68% said it improved the quality of their work. Overall, users were 29% faster in a series of tasks. If they missed a meeting, they caught up 4.5 times faster than they would have otherwise because AI summarized the meeting for them. And what was interesting in that is the people that were in the room, they ask them a series of questions about what were the main topics and the most important points from the meeting. And there was 15 topics or points that they were expected, hoping that the participants would remember. The people that were in the room the whole, you know, length of the meeting, they got 12 of the 15 correct, which I thought was interesting. They were actually in the room. The people that had the AI summary and were not in the meeting only spent maybe 15 minutes reviewing. They got 11 of the 15 correct. They missed one versus the people that were actually in the room. 64% said it. They spent less time processing email. 77% said they don't want to give it up now that they've started using it in their daily workflow. So there are improvements that I just showed you. Typically, people are reporting very high return on investment for incorporating AI into their workflow. But let's assume only 15% improvement in your office if you were to start using AI to get the same productivity improvements that Microsoft saw. But instead of 70 or 80%, let's say you only got 15%. If you had 5 full-time equivalents in your office space using AI, you'd gain 30 hours a week of available time. If you had 100 full-time equivalents, and I don't know if any of your companies, how big or small you are, so that's why there's a wide range here, it's equivalent of having 15 new people on your team. You didn't have to hire them. You didn't have to go out and source them. They're people that are already in your organization. You've got 15 people that are, on average, as good as your average employee, and they already know the culture. They already, you know how long it takes to get to work. So huge productivity gains with just a 15% improvement. And so that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about AI this morning and get you thinking about, Is this something you want to go pursue if you're not already? And what might you expect as a return on investment? Because I don't know about you, but if I go use something in my business, I want it to produce a return. Everybody okay with that? Let's not just play with the toys. Let's actually get it to do something that's valuable and show some gains. Now, a lot of people are worried about AI. In a survey that was done, 31% are just flat out worried. 20% are excited. 30% are both worried and excited, and 18% don't know what planet they're on. But the point being is, in this room, there's only 20% of you likely that are excited about AI, according to the statistics. In your workforce, there's only about 20% of your people that are actually excited about trying AI. But yet, once they do, they find out that it's a tool that they don't necessarily want to give up, as we saw in the previous stats. 42% are excited for AI to help their current job. Okay, so this is a survey from a few months ago. 42% are excited, thinking it could help them do their jobs better. 31% are neutral, 27% are concerned. So a couple of different reports here. Basically what it says is less than half your people are really excited about AI at first glance. What we found, though, in recent studies is 25% have actually tried using AI in the workplace. Once they did, 80% of them said it improved their workflow. 43% said, hey, we don't have any guidance on how or if we should even use AI in the company setting. But if you would give them direction as leaders in your organization, make it okay to use AI, even give them some recommendations on how to use it, offer to pay for the pro versions, $20 a month, and most of the AIs out there, they're 6x more likely to actually try to use it if they know you're okay with them using it. What do we know? Well, ChatGPT-4 is the one that kind of made the news last year. If you heard anything about AI in the last year and a half, it's probably about ChatGPT by a nonprofit organization called OpenAI. ChatGPT is 10 times smarter, 4.0, the one that came out last year, than the predecessor version that had come out a few months earlier. So that's how fast this thing is maturing. GPT-4 has a simulant IQ of 155, compared that to Einstein's IQ of 160. ChatGPT-4 already knows 1,000 times more than any one human on the planet. 64% of Americans surveyed are not opposed to AI becoming sentient. I'm not sure if I'm excited about that myself, but interesting thought. 77% surveyed believe that some sort of regulation is needed, and we'll talk briefly about that in a moment. Things like fact-checking. Well, you know, one thing we learned during COVID is who's checking the fact-checkers, you know. So it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, which political party you belong to. There's all kinds of junk on both sides. And then consent. Do you, as a Hollywood actor, consent to somebody taking AI, cloning your voice and cloning your likeness and using it to make a commercial? Probably not, right? Because that's your, what makes you unique. So how do we get that hammered out? There's fear around AI. Early on last year, cheating in schools. I had one friend, English teacher. She said, my student's handwriting is going to get better. We were talking about AI, and how's AI going to improve your student's handwriting? She said, because they're not doing homework at home anymore. They're doing it. They're writing papers in class now because they're going to handwrite those papers in class because I don't know if they're using AI at home to do this paper. There's lots of people already being fooled by AI-generated pictures, AI-generated video. A real concern for security is AI has the ability, they announced this a few months ago, that with 30 seconds of your voice, they could clone your voice to a place where your mom on the phone would think it was you. Well, imagine if some bad actors got a hold of your voice and freaked your parents out and asked for some money. So there's some crazy stuff out there. I got a lot of artist friends. They're concerned about being ripped off. AI can look at two or three of their pictures and create a new something, but it's based on their work. Do they get credit for that? Do they get royalties off that? Like what's involved? And then tools in general can be dangerous, right? We've had lots of inventions that were invented for good things and could be used for good causes. AI can be used for good things as long as good people get involved in helping it learn what being a good person is, right? And what a good outcome should look like, what a humane outcome should look like. But think about cars. I put somebody in a car and run them to a hospital and help save their life. Or I could drive a car into a crowd of people in a crosswalk and kill a few people. Is the car good or bad?
Good.
Neither, right? It's whatever I decided to do with the car. It's a tool. Okay? Guns, let's not go there. We're in Texas. We already know where we stand in Texas. But no matter which side of the gun control aisle you're on, is the gun itself good or bad? It's neither. It's neutral. It's a tool. It's what the person chooses to do with it. Cash, the $20 I have in my pocket, I could either use it to buy medicine to help one of my kids get better, or I could, that $20 may have been used for some nefarious thing a few weeks ago before it got in my pocket. Is the $20 good or bad? Neither, right? Dynamite. Anybody know the story behind dynamite? Who invented dynamite?
Nobel.
Okay. And one day there was a fake headline, back before fake news, and there was some misinformation spread that he had died. He wakes up the next morning, gets the newspaper, Doctor of Doom or Doctor of Death, I forget the headline, has passed because he was the inventor of dynamite and it was being used in war. He originally invented it for good things, helping clear land so you could build hospitals and schools. And he never imagined that the government would take it and do terrible things with it. So he had a realization in that moment. He could have one of two legacies. He could be known as the Doctor of Death, or he could change that. So he took all the fortune that he had made on dynamite, and he started the Nobel Peace Prize. And so that's where he wanted to change his personal legacy. But dynamite, good or bad? He invented it to be a good thing, a useful utility. It ended up being used in wars in a way that he never imagined. I would propose AI's the same. Could bad actors get a hold of AI and use it to hack your systems faster than humans could? Yes. Could AI be used to fool your family and to try to get money from you? Yes. Or we good people in the room, we could use AI to start doing good things. And we'll talk about some examples of that in a moment. But while we're on the negative bandwagon, I just got a few more slides of negative and then we'll get into the good stuff. Goldman Sachs predicts 300 million jobs will be lost worldwide or degraded due to AI. About how many people live in America? About 350 million. So basically every American... You know, to give you a magnitude of how many people that is, imagine every American unemployed. That's what we're thinking. Goldman Sachs is predicting we'll see worldwide 300 million jobs lost or degraded. So what are some cons in the business world? Well, unemployment. People are being replaced by AI already. Income inequality. So there's some concern that wealthier, educated people will use AI to advance themselves or their careers, and those that aren't educated or have easy access to AI will start losing, and that the gap will grow. Social unrest. The potential to replace taxi drivers. Y'all heard Elon Musk a couple of years ago say, the best investment you can make is buy one of my cars because it's going to become robotic while you're at work. Between its computer-aided systems and artificial intelligence, it's going to go run taxi for you while you're working in your office, and then it'll drive back up and pick you up and take you home. So it's going to make you money while you're at work. Translators. There are some really great AI translation tools out there already. Writers. We heard about the Hollywood strikes last year, right, because of the writers were saying, hey, this thing could replace me. Accountants, we can see that speeding up. Lawyers, any lawyers in the room? Just one. I'm sorry, I got to do it. I'm okay with some lawyers being replaced. But there are some good ones, and I'm sure both of you are, and thank you for being here today. But there's a lot of things, x-ray technicians and so on, jobs that can be changed, right? It increases security risk, cyber attacks, digital warfare, but most importantly, it lacks the human touch. Executives were surveyed, their top concerns, and by the way, I'm fine with if MSC wants to share these slides with you guys, like, so you don't have to take pictures of the slides. If you can, if you want to, I don't care either way. Data security and privacy was the top concern. The accuracy of the AI, and we can talk more about that. In fact, has anybody tried to use AI to do math? Complex math problems? Did it get it right?
No.
Right. Okay, so this is really weird for me. I grew up thinking computers were built on mathematical models, right? Ones and zeros and like a, you know, fancy calculator. And so my assumption when I started playing with AI was that it could get math right. It actually doesn't. Like a lot of the time, in his case, never. Does that like mess with anybody else or is it just me? That a computer can't do math? Well, that's because as I've gotten more into it and studying it, it's because what we're calling AI today wasn't built to solve mathematical problems. It was built to be creative. It wasn't built to be logical. It was built to solve problems, look for gaps, identify, predict what might be next. And there's other reasons, but that's one of the big ones. Of course, skills gaps among staff. Executives are concerned about that. You know, your staff that embraces AI, they're going to be faster. They're going to be able to get more done if they understand how to use it as a tool. But what does that do to your staff that doesn't? Bob and I were talking before there was, I came up here, there was a season where if you were a real photographer, you wouldn't touch a digital camera. Because a real camera could produce an amazing picture and you could blow it up the size of a billboard. A digital camera, you were lucky if you blew it up to a 5x7 and it looked halfway decent. But at some point, all the major magazines said, we will not accept a photo unless you submit it digitally. Kodak at one point invented the digital camera and said, this isn't ever going to fly, and shelved it. Because they couldn't get a good enough quality. And where's Kodak today? Are they the king of cameras, king of film? No, long gone. The brand's still around. Ethical and compliance issues. AI is not inherently ethical, right? Number one. Number two, how it gets data, we have to understand the ethical impact of that. You guys are in an industry that's unlike healthcare in a lot of ways. But if we were in the healthcare industry, having my name associated with my social security number, associated with my health stats, my blood pressure, et cetera, some of that is what they call PII, personally identifiable information. That is mine, and you can't use that in your data sets because it could be tracked back to me in certain scenarios. So ethics is a big thing around AI because it'll take whatever data you give it to do something. And my wife asked me to remember to say this. If you're using any of the AI platforms or just about any of the AI platforms that are easily accessible out there today, please do not put any personal information in those. The name of your company, the name of your customer, your name, change your company name to the first letter of your company. Change your name to, you know, in my case would be Jay. Call it customer one and customer two. Don't put any information in there because there are humans that are looking through the data and technically it's out in public domain, so to speak, unless you've paid for it to be kept private. And there's not a lot of those models there yet. All the big boys realize that's a problem from Microsoft and everybody else, Google. They're working to change that, and there are some models you can buy now that protect that. But make sure you understand who does the data belong to when you're starting to interact with AI. Customer trust. How many of you guys trust AI? Like if you found out that your supplier was using AI to calculate your billing, to write the proposal, would you feel extremely confident in just receiving it at face value? No, right? Okay. Well, if you don't trust it, your customers probably don't trust it, and maybe your employees don't either, right? So how do you start to understand where does it work, where is it adding value, where are there still gaps? And then the last thing the top executives were concerned about were what's it going to cost to implement or maintain it? Mo Gaudet, the former executive business chief business officer at Google X, which is their R&D labs, said this last year in a podcast that I was listening to. The actual threat ahead of us is not the machines at all. The machines are pure potential. The threat is how are we going to use them? So let's get into the positive side of things, and that's where we'll camp most of the rest of my presentation. Some pros for AI, especially in business, is use it to create drafts. I know this one's a little bit of an eye chart for those of you in the back, but create drafts, policies, procedures, job descriptions, marketing emails, social media posts. Use it to help you brainstorm ideas, either one-on-one, solo, or even in a room, pull it up on the screen and have it be a participant in your brainstorming. Some of you may have heard you can use it to help write code for computer programs. Enhance your productivity. We talked about some of that already. Drive sales growth. So, for example, any of y'all Netflix subscribers? Show of hands. Netflix? Okay. A few of you. Netflix has been using AI since before you heard about it last year to figure out what shows to recommend. Now, they do this purely for your viewing enjoyment. Has nothing to do with they want to keep you on longer to sell more ads or anything like that. It's purely because they care about you as a customer. Thank you for the chuckle or two. I appreciate that. And then innovate solutions. And we'll talk more about a specific example on that in a moment. So what are the executives' top hopes? The people like you in the room, what are you hoping AI can do? Increase productivity, help you make better decisions, help you innovate faster, reduce your cost, increase your strategy, so you spend more time on strategy and less time on tasks themselves, and enhance the customer experience, which one of my business clients interacted with in a test setting with an AI on Amazon for customer return. She said that was the best customer service experience she's had in several years, and it was an AI that was handling it with her. Okay, could AI do a better job than the human? So people were surveyed, and you see several domains up here on the screen. Start at the top. Everything in green is where they said AI did a better job than I could have by myself. In red were the people that said it did a lesser job than I could have by myself. So artwork, you can see, well, actually, I won't read this whole thing. But all the green except for essays is outside 50% of the people said it did a better job. In artwork, emails, coding, music, stories, articles, lyrics, and essays. So this is an interesting thing. AI, we talked about it being used as a tool for good. There's this boy saw 17 doctors over 3 years. 17 doctors over a three-year period. None of them could figure out what was going on with him. The mom heard about ChatGPT, this is last year. She was frustrated seeing her son suffering. After 3 years and 17 doctors, nobody could figure out what was up. So she started feeding in everything she could think of all night long. Within several hours of her feeding and reading and feeding and reading and what about and what and running hypotheticals with AI, it diagnosed her son's problem. Extremely rare disease. She went back to one of the experts she had been talking to and said, here's what I did, and here's what it thinks. The expert looked at the data, said, you're right. That's what it is. All right, so how do we start to use AI? There's two questions that you can ask. Most of the AI is advanced enough now that you don't necessarily have to ask these two questions. But if you've never played with AI, or even if you played with it and you're like, hey, I wonder if it could help me with this, just ask it. Hey, can you help me with planning a trip to Alaska? All right? And then The next question you might ask, it'll probably prompt itself now, because most people have been asking this question now for months. It'll say, yes, I can help you with a trip from Alaska. Please tell me when you want to go, why you want to go, is there any place in particular you want to go? So be prepared. But if it doesn't, you can ask it the question, what information do you need from me to do this well? So great prompt always includes, what role will AI play? There's some anecdotal evidence to say that when you give AI a role, you're the world's best social media expert. Help me write a blog post for this upcoming blah, 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 right? You're the world's best secretary. You know, help me with this. You're a capable lawyer that really cares about people. Help me draft something that sounds very sincere, but also technically correct, right? And guess what AI is going to do? It's going to do it, and it's going to put a disclaimer down there. I'm not a lawyer. Please seek legal advice, you know, et cetera. So it'll put the disclaimer in there. But what I got to thinking about this, why is AI do a better job when you give it a role to play? And I was actually just thinking about this last week. I think it may be, yes, it helps the AI get into character, but I also am becoming more and more convinced it helps the human ask a better question. So the role is an important, I still believe it's a very important thing for you to do when you're writing a prompt. Give it whatever information you want, and then give it a hint at least of what's the desired outcome or what's the purpose that you're using it. Okay, so that's all the groundwork. Now we're going to have some fun. Here's some real world examples of stuff I've done over the last few months just to get your juices flowing, and then we're going to let you try it. Okay? These are actual, like, they've not been edited for this presentation. This is actually what I did with AI and the actual output. I have a podcast called A Leader's Journey. I was kicking it off last year around the same time AI was all the hype. So one of the first things I asked was, help me come up with some questions to give to my people that I'm going to interview so that they can be prepared, you know, mentally, like where we're going to go with the conversation. It gave me these questions. How many questions are up there? I got a kick out of that. What game do the humans play? 20 questions, right? I did not say how many questions. I just said, give me some questions. It gave me 20. Y'all could look at a couple of these questions. We don't have time to read them all. But share a story from your past. What are some obstacles or challenges? What are your greatest failures and what did you learn? Making tough decisions that were unpopular. How did you deal with the fallout? How do you maintain your mental and emotional health? Define success and how do you measure it? How do you manage work-life balance in your, how do you foster a culture of inclusivity and diversity? What's your greatest challenge for the next generation of leaders? So those are just some of the highlights there. How many of y'all could have come up with those questions or some of these questions? Raise a show of hands. Could have come up with these questions? Two or three of you? Okay. How many of you could have done that in 28 seconds? Typed. Spell checked. Okay. Warehouse associate job. I'm talking with one of my clients at lunch, and he goes, I feel kind of bad. This is, I said, why? He says, we have this new warehouse associate that we hired. It's an entry-level position, and he's several weeks into the job, and I still don't have a job description for him. I said, let's ask ChatGPT. So that's what I actually typed. Nowhere in here did I name the company. I didn't give it a lot of detail. Y'all can read it pretty quick there on the screen. And this is not only the job description it gave me, but it turned it into a job posting. Company name is a leading supplier to the fastener industry. We pride ourselves in providing high-quality products and exceptional service, blah, 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 seeking a motivated, detail-oriented warehouse associate. Here's the job summary, which I did not type. Here's the key responsibilities. I think it's interesting. It says adhere to all safety protocols and standard operating procedures. Do you think in a warehouse it's probably important to be aware of safety protocols? I did not say that anywhere in my prompt. It added that. Perform other duties as assigned. I love that, right? Any good job description has that. Perform other duties as assigned. So it's figured that out. But it's got all kinds of cool stuff in here. It even writes a closing statement. Why join us? At Company, we value our employees and provide them with a conducive working environment where they can learn and grow. And it goes on and on. We're an equal opportunity employer. Send your resume to and puts a placeholder in there for email. Anybody, show of hands, who's written a job description before? Could we have written this job description? Yeah? In 30 seconds? Do I still need to read through it and make sure, like, I agree with what's there? Sure I do. Like, I've got a, this is another really important thing. You own the output. If you use AI to write your blog and you put your name on it, and somebody comes up and goes, that was a horrible blog, you can't go, it's AI's fault. Okay, and actually that's been tested already legally. Customer service chatbot, this couple had a bad, it was one of the Canadian airlines, couple has a bad experience, they're online with customer service chatting. The customer service agent says, hey, no problem, we'll give you a full refund and we'll, you know, do this and we'll do that and we're going to do all these amazing things because we want you to be a really happy customer. So they show up to pick up their check and all these other benefits, and the human says, there's no way we're doing that. Who told you that we'd do such a thing? Well, your online chat did. Oh, well, no, that's a new AI thing that we're doing, and it can't, you know, we can't do that. Well, they took them to court, and the judge said, you put the AI in as your representative, and it offered these people this, you know, over-the-moon package as a way to make it up. You will give this couple the over-the-moon package to make up their bad experience, plus these other penalties for bringing it to court. Best man speech. So I'm sitting with a client one day. There's several of them in the room. We're having a forum. And during one of the breaks, one of the guys goes, yeah, I've got to prepare a best man speech. And I haven't done anything, and the wedding's, you know, a few weeks away. So somebody said, hey, Joel, why don't we ask ChatGPT? So this is what I wrote. You're the best man at a wedding in August. Craft a speech to share. Your friend, the groom, funny, never been married, plays guitar. Y'all been friends for over 30 years. The tone should be thoughtful and lighthearted. Use the word endure in the context of life's challenges. He was your college roommate. Should be a 2 to 5 minute speech. ChatGPT wrote this. Now, what I'm about to show you is not all the words. I did cut some out to fit them on screen, but I want to share this with you. So first of all, upper left-hand corner, what's that say? Standing, raise your glass. The AI is telling the human, here's how you give a proper toast. Ladies and gentlemen, firstly, I want to say it's an honor to stand here today as best man. Not only am I privileged to be part of this beautiful occasion, but I'm lucky enough to be here celebrating one of the finest men I've ever had the privilege to call my friend. Today, we're not only here to celebrate the love between groom and bride, but also the bond of a friendship that's endured 3 decades. And then he goes on to tell a joke that the AI wrote for him. AI says, pause for laughs. And then he continues, jump over to the other side. But if there's, remember, what word did we tell it to use? Endure, okay? What's that first word in yellow on the right column? Endurance is not just about weathering the storm, it's about learning to dance in the rain. Now remember, he plays the guitar. That's the only clue we gave AI. No one does that better than groom. No matter the tune life plays, he finds a way to strum along, creating his own unique melody of resilience, love, and laughter. Now as we embark on this new chapter, I look over at Bride, and I see the perfect duet partner for him. I see someone who understands his rhythm, someone who can keep up with his tempo, and someone who isn't afraid to throw in a few surprising notes of her own. So let's raise our glasses to groom and bride. May your lives together be a beautiful song filled with harmony, love, and the strength to endure all of life's challenges. Here's to a lifetime of making beautiful music together. And at this point, all the ladies in the room go, oh. Okay, guys, how many of us could have written this speech? None of us. None of us. And if there is one in here, bravo for you. Could you have done that in 45 seconds? No, you could not have done it in 45 seconds, especially that poetic. By the way, when I actually read the whole thing out loud, it came in at 3 minutes. I told it make it between 2 to 5 minutes. That was first draft. This is first draft, ladies and gentlemen. First draft. There's a new art school starting in San Antonio. They were trying to put together a marketing message, so we wrote this prompt. You guessed it, about 45 seconds later, here's what it outputted. Some really good stuff to use. Discover your artistic mastery and so on. Discover the healing power of art to alleviate stress, boost self-esteem, and cultivate a sense of inner peace. Enroll today at art school and embark on a transformative artistic journey that transcends boundaries, where creativity knows no limits. First draft of that. A DEI statement. I need to speed up here. Relocate. Husband and wife are relocating. They currently live in Texas. They make about $230,000 a year, live in a, you know, and so on. Here's all the specs. What happens if they move to Central Colorado? How much would they need to make? Now, what did I just ask it? I gave it a word problem, right? And my friend over here says it never gets it right. That's correct. It did not get it right. It assumed Colorado has state tax, which it did not put in the equation. So in this upper right, you see me correcting it. Your assumption in number one is not correct. You don't deduct. So anyway, it comes back and says, apologies. Let's recalculate. And it got it right the second time. Excel spreadsheet. Anybody play with Excel? Show of hands. Okay. So I got a friend of mine. He's a doctor. His degree's in some really cool stuff. Anyway, he does a lot of research and surveying. So he had a company, an organization in Waco, had multiple sites. He surveyed 600 of their medical professionals and was trying to crunch all this data. And I said, well, give it to me and let AI crunch the summary and write the executive one-page report. 30, 45 seconds later, dear C-suite, this letter presents a comprehensive results and interpretation of the employee survey conducted across various locations of your organization. It goes on to show the highs, the lows, and the conclusion. Now, here's where you know AI wrote this. Conclusion, the overall, lower right, the overall health of your organization is moderate. Well, if I were the guy that was being paid as a consultant, that's not exactly how I'd talk to the C-suite. I'd probably find a little nicer way to work my way into that. So, but you've got to own the output, right? There's some good stuff here. This is a first draft in 45 seconds or less. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. It was almost 2 minutes because it had to analyze the Excel spreadsheet, which was massive. And then it wrote this. Photos from words. Here's the prompt I gave it. I said, mountain modern home is one of the new trends. Blue sky for sale sign in the front yard. The house is black and white. 30 seconds later, here's what I got. Not photo perfect, but you could use that in an ad. Clean it up a little bit. Do y'all have a preference, picture on the left or picture on the right? Anybody for left? A couple of you. Right? That is crazy. Every time I present this, the majority picks the picture on the right. So I got to figure out why. All right, a photo from another photo. This is some other functionality. So I sit in the airport the day they released this functionality. I grabbed something that was in front of me, which was a bottle of smart water that I had put some added vitamin stuff in it. So it turned it pink. And so I said, make the liquid purple. And it was the first prompt I gave it. And then it gave me a picture. And then I said, okay, make it darker purple, and the label should read Joel's Water. Okay? So you're going to see three pictures. The first one on the left is the original picture. The second one is from the just turning the liquid purple. And the third one is darker purple with my name on it. Did all that in less than 2 minutes. So where does that come into play? You got a new product idea. You take a picture of an existing product. You say, you know, play with it. Help me get some conceptual pictures done. Social posts from YouTube videos. So some of the AIs out there, Gemini from Google does this really well. You can give it a YouTube link and say, summarize this video. A minute or two later, you got a summary of the video. You can say, watch this video, this hour video, and give me the main takeaways, and it'll do it. Or watch this one-hour video and write a social media post from it. So this is the prompt I gave it, world's best social media expert and so on. About 2 minutes later, here's my post. First draft, including emojis. as the little bullets there. All right, some other uses. I used it to draft company core values from a newspaper article that was published about this new company that was being launched as a way to check, were they communicating their core values through their marketing and their media. Used it to improve customer feedback, form letter, calculate interest on accrued credit card during a 7-week reimbursement period. I had it rewrite my bio several times. I've cleaned up and rewrote my daughter's resume. All of this stuff literally in 1 to 3 minutes. So are you using, by show of hands, anybody using OpenAI's ChatGPT today? Okay, that number continues to grow as I do these, as time goes on. How about Gemini from Google? A few of you. How about Claude from Anthropic? Nobody. Okay. How about Copilot in Microsoft? A few of you. Okay. So here's what we're going to do with the we've got about 19 minutes left of my time. So we're going to spend about 10 of those. And you guys are going to break up into teams. So like U4, U3, and U2, and so on, right? And what we're going to do here is nominate at least one person in your group to go to gemini.google.com, gemini.google.com, especially if you already have a Google account, that you can go right in and start asking it questions. As a group, decide on something you want to knock off your to-do list. Write a job description, write a social media post, draft a letter, analyze the market, you know, for something, whatever you want to do. As a group, y'all write the prompt real quick, and then it's going to give you an output, see how long it takes, look at the output, and then on a scale of 1 to 10, how'd it do? Did it do a really good job? Did it do a terrible job? Whatever it was. And then, you know, are you going to do something with that? So here's the deal. We're going to have a contest. Whoever can get the most things done in the next 9 to 10 minutes wins. Okay? Everybody else loses. So if your group, and my wife's here as a witness, there was a group she sat in. One group in 10 minutes got 25 things done. 25 things done in 10 minutes. So that's kind of like, that's the best ever. Most people get 3 to 12. So on your mark, Gemini.google.com, as a group, work together, write the prompt, give it something to do. As soon as it does that thing, do the next thing. And then do something else, and then do something. See how many things you can get done in the next 10 minutes. Your mark, get set, go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I was trying not to make those, because I look over here at the screen, I'm trying to not make it. I know I'm not actually going to. We're halfway. You got just under 5 minutes left.
Thank you.
Two minutes. All right, you got about 60 seconds. Wrap it up. All right, get your final answer. You're running out of time. All right. So enough of y'all have paused. Let's get some feedback from the audience. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you got AI to help you do one thing? Okay. How many of you got five? A couple of you. Okay. How many of you got 10 things done? A couple of you. We got eight over here. How many did you guys get done?
I'm asking AI to tell us.
Oh, AI's calculating for them right now. It says they got 18 done, but we know it's not good at math, right? So somebody needs to double check that count. Okay, so 18, anybody beat 18? Anybody get 18 things done at the office yesterday, last week in 10 minutes? No? Okay. What was one of your favorite things that got done for you?
There's a lot. It created a pre-operations checklist for a CAT 938 wheel loader.
A pre-operations checklist for a CAT 938 preloader. All right. Y'all know what that means. I don't. It's news to me. But I know CAT means caterpillar. Is that right? Did I get that right? Okay. Okay, anybody else? What'd y'all get done?
My favorite was the apology text to my wife.
Love it.
Missing the kids' activities.
Yes, that's a great use. Guys, did y'all hear that? The apology text to his wife for missing the kids' activities. Great use of AI. Remember, it's very creative. It's not good at math, but it's very creative. Okay, anybody else? Want to share something?
I asked it to brainstorm as many different ideas for a 10-minute contest. Or using AI to...
By the way, that's how the group that got 25 done. They did the exact same thing. Yeah, bravo to you. Okay, so for those that didn't hear, he cheated. That's the short version of the story. He asked AI to give him a list of things it could do in a 10-minute contest to get a list of things done. So it gave him the list and then went. He said, do it. So, okay, anybody else? I was with one group, they had it write a eulogy. I thought that was interesting. Being in Texas, one of the groups I talked to asked it to write a country western song. It did, you know, in a minute or two. They said it was pretty good. I said, well, did you have it write they had it write the lyrics. I said, did you have it write the music? And they're like, it can do that? And I was like, yeah. So while I'm going around the room, they had it write the music to the lyrics. Anybody else want to share? Have it sing it. Yeah, you can do it that too now that AI voices are out there. You feed it in there and don't know how good it would do, but that could be worth have some fun. Okay. Being from Texas, what's the probability that or possibility that Texas could secede from the rest of the Union? For those that aren't from Texas or don't know a little bit about Texas, we're the only state that has that right. We put it in our agreement with the United States that should we so choose, we would have the right to exit. The rest of you are stuck with what you got. We're also at the 7th or 8th largest economy on the planet now. So if we were our standalone government, Texas would be bigger than all but 8 of them. Or 7 of them. You can tell I'm proud of Texas, right? Okay. I started wearing my Texas shirt today, but my wife wouldn't let me. It's actually the Texas flag. All right, so what if you want to implement AI? I've got to wrap up. I got like 2 or 3 minutes left. Identify the business objective and need. So just like with any tool, you're not just going to go buy a bunch of PCs because somebody told you you should, that it's going to make you more efficient. You want to understand how you're going to use those PCs, right? Same thing with AI. Don't just run off and start doing AI because it's the thing to do. Understand why you're going to use AI and how might you use it. Where would you expect to get some benefit and some return on investment? You do need to think about data privacy and security concerns. What are the skills gaps and training required? Again, remember, vast majority of your employees are just waiting for you to say it's okay for them to use AI, and in what way or what kinds of ways could they use it? What's good with you? Look at some AI solutions and some different vendors. Collect some data, you know, especially if you're going to use it to really do something like analyzing Excel spreadsheets. You probably don't need to go hire a vendor to do that, right? But if you're going to do some of the fancier stuff, like let it become your customer service engine, you probably really want to understand what's involved with that. And then always, with anything new, do pilot testing. Some things we can do as leaders, both in the community and in our businesses, champion its ethical development and its ethical use, foster a culture of learning, take that fear out of AI. Look at AI, this opportunity, as a human-AI collaboration where the tool can and the human can start to work together. And that's like we did with the Internet. Talk to your legislation about AI. Have some good governance, right, at the state or should be federal level. And then talk about the vision for the future, where AI might fit. Don't leave your employees wondering if you're going to use it, if it's going to cost them their jobs, how might you use it. Like, get some thoughts around that and start to communicate it. If you can afford to be the master of human connection, I love this quote, if you can afford to be the master of human connection instead of the master of AI, do it. Do the human connection piece. At the same time, you need to be the master of AI to compete in this world. Final prompt. You've been asked to speak for about 60 minutes to a room full of business people about the latest developments in AI and practical ways they can use it today to improve their organizations. Provide bullet points and sub-bullets. Populate your slide deck. Today's been brought to you by AI and Joel Gunn. If you have any questions or you want to reach out, there's my contact information. It's been a pleasure. I'll hang around during the break if you have any questions. I'm actually going to stay. I'm looking forward to hearing the lunch keynote. So I'll be around. I'm not the super expert, but happy to chat anyway. And thank you again.